What I need this morning before we get started, as we get started, is actually two volunteers. One, I need a woman who is looking to replace her headphones. Jonathan doesn't count as a woman. I need a woman who's looking for a new set of headphones. Here's the requirement for the two volunteers. I need volunteers who have a passing, adequate kind of, you know, basic knowledge of the Bible. So I need like a, you know, don't worry. So you don't have to be like, you know, seminary level, but you have to be somewhat familiar with the Bible. I'll take a man, and I'm also looking for a girl as well. And one of the prizes is a set of headphones that are pink. So pink, they're pink. And so So I don't want them to go to waste because I want someone to actually use them, like, you know, when they're in public. So I would definitely, maybe we could someone. You can volunteer a girl that could use a. Okay, Francis and Eric, come on up. Francis, come up here, please. Okay, so stand up here. Just stand up here for a second. And let's test Francis. Here you go, Francis.
Thank you.
Francis, we're going to start with you. Let's warm you up. We're trying to see how her basic knowledge of the Bible goes. So, Francis, name for us the first five books of the Bible. First five books of the Bible.
Okay, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Revelation.
pass the mic to Eric for a second. Eric, what are the first five books of the Bible?
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Okay, let me give the mic back to Francis. Okay, here's your real question for you. So here's a very simple question. Francis Beau, which book of the Bible contains the most songs? Songs. Music. Songs.
Psalms?
Very good. Okay, thank you. Here you go, Francis. This is for you. You take a seat.
Oh.
You did very well. And Eric,
Hi.
For you, here's your music-related question from the Bible. Name two common musical instruments that are played in the Bible.
I think it was a lyre.
Uh-huh, there's
and,
one.
And, not a guitar, no.
No, they didn't have guitars. They didn't have guitars back then.
Tambourine!
Okay, sure, I'll accept that. Very good. Okay.
And for your bonus question,
which instrument did King David play?
It was like, I can't remember. Harp!
Okay, I'll take that.
I don't know if you use iTunes, but here is a free song download of your choice, so you can take that.
And I have a couple more of those that we'll be giving away in coming weeks. So give Eric and... Well, as we've been going through, we started last week this theme, our theme this year of high fidelity. And if you remember, what we were talking about was experiencing God's music, that we're talking about having a high fidelity relationship, a high fidelity, faithful translation of God's music in and through our lives. And so the first stage that we talked about last week was hearing the music, and that we need to experience the transformative Word of God, how the Word of God teaches us about Himself, about ourselves, as well as real life. And unlike today's game, it's not simply that we go through God's Word to know facts and information or trivia, but as you genuinely hear God's song, that it should be life-transforming. And so the question I ask myself is, how does that happen in our lives? That we read the Bible, we read the Word of God, and that it transforms us in some way. And so that's the question we're going to try to answer this morning. But before we do, let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that you would be present in our midst. We ask that you would do your work in us. We ask that even as we ourselves need you to urge us and to have your Spirit really call us to be receptive to you, that your Spirit would already be at work softening up the soil of our hearts. Lord, would you speak to us this morning that we might experience the power of your word, your life-transforming word in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. you have a Bible, you want to turn in it to Matthew chapter 13. And there's a couple of English Bibles in the rows in front of you. And just to give you a little bit of background about this passage, Jesus is getting up to give his third major sermon in the book of Matthew. And this is the first of several parables, like kind of these metaphorical stories that Jesus tells regarding the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. In other words, what does God's reign in God's people look like? And how do we experience God in real life? And so it turns out that has a lot to do with how we interact with God's word. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning in Matthew chapter 13. Verse 1, it reads, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear.' The disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?'" Let's stop right there. And so, you hear this story. Jesus tells a story. For some of you, this is a very familiar parable about four types of soil. And the question, of course, is what does this mean? Let's skip down to verse 18, and we're going to skip a large section, but don't worry, we'll cover it in a little bit, okay? Verse 18, Jesus says, "Listen then to what the parables of the sower mean. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one," talking about Satan, "comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell in rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Let's stop there. And so, as Jesus begins to explain this interesting story and this painting of what it means to hear the word of God, he talks about how hearing and experiencing God's music, God's truth, God's word, has everything to do with the condition of the heart. You see, as a pastor, a lot of times I'll have people come to me and share about how they're journeying with God and how it's been trying to hear and understand what God is trying to speak to them about. But people often complain that God isn't speaking to me, or that things in my life are going wrong, or I'm too busy, so I just turn away from God, or I feel like I'm unable to enjoy the music of God's word. And a lot of times, we blame the circumstances around us. I'm too busy. There's too much stuff going on. God isn't speaking. And so, all these circumstances that are external to myself make it impossible for me to hear God. But what Jesus teaches in this parable is that it has less to do with your external circumstances and more to do with the internal soil of your heart. And so he gives us four examples, right? In verse 18 and 19, he talks about a well-worn path. And so this is a picture of those paths back in ancient Near East times when there's a lot of foot traffic trampling down these non-kind of gravelly paths. And there's a lot of animal traffic, so it packs the dirt in hard, and it packs it in so it's about as fertile as asphalt or concrete. So you can toss as many seeds on it as you want, but it'll just sit on the surface, and nothing happens to it. And this is what happens to us when you come to God's word, when God gives you the good news of Jesus Christ, or when God speaks to you through his commands and through the Bible. And your heart is already hardened. It's like that kind of trampled path where your mind is already made up and it's so hard, it refuses to let the seeds of God's voice in. Let me put it to you this way. Let's put it in music terms. Let's say that, how many of you hate rap music? Come on, man. How many of you hate country music? How many of you hate classical music? You have to play instruments. Now, see, this is what happens. If you've already decided that you hate a certain type of music, you will not be able to grasp when something of that genre is, in fact, actually very high quality. I know some of you like were like, heresy, isn't that unbiblical for people to hate classical music or blah, 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 this and that. But the point is that the same happens with God's music. When you have already made up your mind about God, when you've already made up your mind about what His Word will or will not say to you, then of course you are not going to hear when God is speaking to you, when God is singing to you through it, because His truth is unable to penetrate the heart and mind and heart of somebody who's already made up their mind that way. And so what Jesus talks about is that instead Satan kind of swoops in. He's able to swoop in and snatch that word of truth, God's life-transforming truth, out of your life because it's just sitting on the surface. It hasn't taken any root in your heart. And instead what he does is he sows deceit. He replaces it with untruth. For example, if you are struggling right now with thoughts of like, well, you know, every road leads to God in some way. This Christianity thing I'm not so sure about. Or that God doesn't really care about you or love you or speak to you, or that you yourself are unable to know God. Those are lies and untruths that you've let Satan sow into your heart because you've hardened it against the truth. You're unable to tell the difference because your heart is hardened to good seed. And so the issue here isn't, it's not that the seed is not good, but it's that the soil of the heart is hard. And so it looks like stubbornness, pride, self-sufficiency, where, you know what, I don't need God, I'm able to rely on myself, which is the same as self-worship and idolatry instead of trusting God and leaning on Him and worshiping Him. And so you need to ask for God for help this morning if that is the situation you're in, if that is the condition of your heart. You need to ask Him for help to be able to listen to what He has to say, help in asking Him to soften up the soil of your heart, and maybe even ask for forgiveness because you're trampling on Him and on His Word. Now the second illustration that Jesus gives in verse 20 and 21 is that of rocky soil. So this isn't the packed down, worn path, but this is rocky soil. And so if you know anything about the near Middle East, Palestine has kind of this desertous, mountainous terrain, right? And so it often has, in this desertous, mountainous area, a very thin layer of soil that has kind of a lot of little bits of rock and rocky soil. So it's enough soil that permits plants to grow and spring up quickly. But because it's such a thin layer of soil, because of all the rock beds and whatnot, it's not deep enough. It's not deep enough for long-term sustainability. There's no roots. And so under the heat of the Palestinian sun, these kind of plants, they spring up quickly, but they also wither and die very quickly. Maybe for you, as a young person, you were someone who was very moved by something that God spoke to you through His Word. You were joyous in trying to accept Christ and very responsive when you first heard God singing to you through His Word. But then what the passage describes is when hard times come, whether it's just the pressures and the troubles of life or maybe even persecution in your life, you tend to wither away from Christ. And I see this happen all the time, especially with young people. And here's the thing. The issue is not the external circumstances. It's not that the sun is too hot, that the troubles and persecution are too great. Because the truth is, there's plenty of other plants that survive. It's not the external circumstances. It's not the sun that's too hot. But Jesus says that it's the soil. It's not deep enough. It's not planting roots enough to nurture and let that plant grow. It's an internal issue, not an external issue, because the person has not cultivated their heart. They haven't cleared out the rocks and the stones of their heart, so the soil in their heart is thin. And so for you, maybe your heart isn't that hard against God, but if you have a lot of rocks in your heart so that's left that are uncleared, so that your soil of your heart is very thin, then of course God's truth, God's Word cannot be nurtured. It won't grow inside of you. There won't be any roots. And so what kind of rocks make your soil thin or make your heart inhospitable? Things like if you have undealt with sin in your life, if you have addictions, that may be habitual things that kind of take up your time and attention and devotion, and instead of allowing God's Word to and His truth to penetrate you and be able to absorb your mind and fill you up with more of God and hear from Him, you're letting these other things, these undealt with rocks like sin, or maybe you have relational hurts or emotional issues that you haven't dealt with. In order to deepen and enrich the soil of your heart, you need to take out these rocks and also draw on the nutrients that God wants you to have so that you can deepen the soil. And so that might look like the nutrients of community in Christ, of worship, of prayer. You can't just remove rocks. You need to replace them with something so that you can enrich and deepen the soil. And so the thought here is, if that's you, if your heart is like rocky, thin soil, if you want to grow and enjoy the fruit of experiencing God through His transformative word, then you've got to clear the rocks inside of your heart, inside of your soil. And you need to deepen and enrich your soil so that you can take, so that God's word can take root. Now there's a third type of soil. In verse 22, he also talks about not only rocky soil that has rocks deeply embedded in it, but he also talks about this wild, thorn-infested field. And basically what that looks like for you and I is it's an uncultivated field where there's maybe a plant is starting to grow up, but there's so many weeds around it that they are choking out the life from this one plant. And so maybe they're growing so tall, these weeds block the sunlight. They are stealing the nutrients from the soil. And they steal so much time and energy and attention and strength that it chokes out the growth of this seed, this music of God, so that it grows up very weak and frail inside your heart. And it's very easy to kill off. This is when the word of truth from God takes root and blossoms in you. But Jesus describes it as the cares and worries of life, and also the draw and the ambitions of wealth will be those kinds of weeds that start to choke out God's word, that start to overtake those priorities of the kingdom of heaven in your life. And so let me put it to you this way. When you are so concerned about the worries of your life, like maybe your kids growing up, or about what your grades are like, or what college are you going to go to, or what your career is going to be like, or your savings and retirement, do I have enough of this? Then all these things, it's not wrong to be responsible. I want you to hear me straight. It's not wrong to be responsible for life. But when you worry, Jesus actually commands us, do not worry in the Sermon on the Mount. Do you know that it's actually sin to worry in the sense that it's saying, God, I know that you are out there and that you're this powerful, wonderful God and that you tell me to trust you and to follow you and that my life will be whatever it is in your hands. But, God, I'm still worried about my future. I'm still worried about my future wife or husband. I'm still worried about my kids or my grades, my retirement fund, etc. Worry says, God, I do not trust your ways or that your will is going to be good for my life. And so I'm going to take it into my own hands, and the only way I know how to deal with it is just to worry about it. It's an issue of trust. And so that's one of those weeds that will choke out the life and the transformative power of God's word in you. Worry. And then maybe your life is doing okay. Maybe you don't worry about your financial circumstances. Maybe you have great kids or a great relationship with a significant other. And so you're like, well, that's not the things that choke out God's truth from my life. For some people, it's that, you know, my life is doing okay, but I have my eyes and my heart and my ambition set on my wealth as far as I don't want to just do okay. I want to do great in life. And it's not wrong, by the way. Like you've heard me say this many times. It's not wrong to maximize what God intends for you. God wants all of us to work hard and maximize our careers, to be a minister in whatever marketplace setting God has put us. But when your eyes are so set on your ambitions, your wealth, your future, and that it's more about that, and so I don't have time. I'm too busy right now, God, to spend time with you. I'm too busy to digest your word and allow it to penetrate my heart. These things also choke out the life of God's word speaking into your life. If you want to grow, if you want to enjoy God's fruit, you're going to have to learn to not blame these external circumstances. See, it's not that these worries that you have in life, it's not that this need for greed or wealth, it's not these things that are the problem. It seems like it's the external circumstances, but really, they're just external symptoms, this worry, this greed of the weeds that have taken root in the soil of your heart. And so I want you to allow God to examine you this morning. Are there weeds in my heart that are choking the life out of spending time with God, out of making Him the priority in my life? You see, it requires cultivation of the soil of our heart to root out these weeds and these idols that we worship of worry and greed so that we can receive nourishment from God's truth. So these are three types of unhealthy soil. And like I said, it has less to do with the circumstances of your life. It's not the hardships that are around you. It's not that you're too busy or that things are so bad in your life. that's choking out God's word. It has more to do with what's in here. Now, for many of us, maybe you're genuinely trying to cultivate a heart that recognizes it's not these external circumstances that block me from hearing God's music. I've been trying to chip away at the stoniness that packed earth in my heart. I've been rooting out the rocks and taking them out one by one and allowing God to help me take them out. I've been pulling the weeds and doing my gardening of my heart. But sometimes I still feel like I do not hear from God through His Word. And so the question is, how do we do that? And the key here is, look at verse 23. Jesus says that there's good soil. And it's not that you're just born, it's not my fault. I'm born rocky soil, while some people are born good soil. But good soil is fertile and deep soil because it's cultivated. It's softened instead of hard. It's been someone that has rooted out those rocks, like I said, and deepened the soil so that when the sun comes, that the plant that grows out of it doesn't die. It's strong enough to persevere, and they've rooted out the weeds and they've nourished it. But the key here in verse 23 is that to be fertile soil requires that you hear and understand. Let me say that one more time. To be fertile soil requires hearing and understanding. Now, there's a difference, because for many of you here, especially you who are younger, you feel like, well, you know, when I hear something, I understand it. You know, I'm not dumb. You know, like when you speak the word, I'm understanding the words that come out of your mouth. But let me put it to you this way. A little girl in England, her name was Josie Cavan. She was born deaf. Growing up, she often felt very isolated because of her inability to hear. But this changed after she received a cochlear implant, basically replacing a piece that was broken inside her ear during the Christmas season. And so at age 12, she heard clearly for the very first time. And the first sound that she heard was the song Jingle Bells being played on the radio. Very happy song. You know the tune, Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg, something like that. A very happy song, and as she was listening to it, it terrified her. She says, what is this noise that is coming out from this machine over here? And, you know, if you ask her the question, or if you ask the question, well, was Josie's hearing restored? Yes, completely. But was she hearing well immediately? Not exactly. You see, her mom said that she was having to learn what each new sound is and what each new sound means. And so she'll ask questions like, was that the door closing just now? And she'll realize for the first time that the light in her room, like when you flip the switch, there's a hum that's going on. So even though Josie knew what her name sounds like before, she couldn't recognize it because she didn't recognize the S sound in the middle of her name, the Josie. So she's like, what's a Josie? You know, she didn't know that was her actual name. So her hearing was restored, but the restoration introduced her to a daily adventure of learning to distinguish what each new sound, what it meant, to understand what it is. She's in the process of not only hearing, but understanding the sounds around her. For many of us, we read and hear God's word, but it's only in one ear and out the other, and it's not enough. We need to really digest it and process it in order to understand. And let me put it to you this way. In the section that we skipped from verses 11 through 17, I'll just summarize it for you. Jesus says that basically you'll discover that most of Israel and most people in verse 13, though hearing, do not hear nor really understand. Though hearing, do not hear nor understand. Even though Jesus invites them in verse 9, those who have ears, let them hear. So what's the difference between those who do hear and understand and those who do not hear and understand? You see, when Jesus was preaching to this huge crowd of people, everyone there was hearing the same word from Christ. But in verse 10, only his disciples, these genuine people who are genuinely following Christ, verse 10 says they came to him and asked. While the rest of the crowd just sat there like, okay, that was an interesting story. Now we're just waiting for the next cool story that Jesus is going to tell. They sought Jesus to dig deeper, to chew on his commands, on his word, to understand. And when they did, he gave them understanding. Are you getting it? You see, responsive soil seeks to understand, seeks understanding from Christ to grasp what you are hearing. We need to seek Jesus in order to really understand what we're hearing from him. So to be fertile soil requires both hearing and understanding. Now the question, of course, is how do we do that? How do we develop a seeking heart? How do we develop understanding? And so I mentioned last week that we want to equip you with an old tool that we used a couple of years ago through the Life Journal reading. I mentioned to you, if I have it somewhere over here, that we used to use these set of bookmarks that kind of help you kind of develop a read the Bible in a year plan. And you can thank Winnie, our administrative assistant, for putting these all together in the back, because we want to make these available for you to take. But this is what I want you to hear. The point isn't to read the Bible in a year. That's not the point, because you can read all you want and hear and not understand. But the point is so that you will read so that you hear and understand and experience the Word of God in life-transforming ways. And so it's, perhaps you already have a personal Bible reading plan, and that's okay. That's fine. You can use that. Although I need to tell you that it's easier to support and encourage each other if we're able to share the same readings. We can hold each other accountable. And I want to encourage you, if you have your own Bible reading plan, don't use that as an excuse to not participate in what we're going to do, because I haven't explained it fully yet. A lot of times people use the excuse, oh, I'm doing my own thing, and so especially when people aren't really doing anything when it comes to following Christ or reading His Word. Don't use it as an excuse not to engage in community and encouraging each other. So the question is, how are we going to use this Life Journal tool to help us hear and understand? And the basic principle I want to give you this morning is I want to help you clean out your spiritual ears with soap so that you can hear the music. And soap is this goofy acronym and that I want to walk you through. But this is going to be the most practical, useful tool that I can think of to give you, that I feel like God has led us to help us really hear the music, to digest it, to hear and understand. And this simple acronym for a process of seeking Christ for understanding of His Word. And so let's say that you turn in your Bible, let's say that you were following along with this Bible reading plan, and you were to start by looking at today is September 27th. Is that correct, somebody? Thank you. And then, so like you see, like, okay, the Bible reading plan is this morning. And then so you're going to start your time, let's say in the morning, that you're going to spend some time with God. You start by asking Christ to give you an open heart and to give you a word of encouragement or direction or correction. And then you read that day's readings, and you might write, for some of you, and here's the hard part, it's going to require for you to actually do some work, not just reading through it. But if you want to hear and understand, I'm going to ask you to start journaling. And you're saying, like, oh, no, not journaling. And that's how I feel, too. I hate it. But what I've learned to do is, I'm not a writer. Some of you would like to journal because maybe you do a diary or something like that. But for me, I hate that kind of stuff. But I found that I can actually sit in front of my computer and just type out my Life Journal reading, and it only takes me 20 minutes. And so typing it up is actually very quick. So I want to encourage you to write and type out a date, give your entry a title that summarizes what God is teaching you, and maybe you're, like, let's say that we were doing our soap reading for this chapter, Matthew 13. My title might be Becoming Soil That Understands God's Word. And here's what the soap process looks like. S stands for Scripture. Let's go to the next slide. And so what you do is you just write down a main piece of Scripture that jumps out at you from whatever you read. And so for me, for example, let's say we're talking about Matthew 13. I've read this parable like hundreds of times. And yes, okay, there's four types of soil and blah, 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 and I'm the soil and that's my heart and et cetera. But as I was seeking Christ and praying through this passage this week, God directed my mind and my heart to verse 23 that says, the good soil is the man who hears and understands. There's something about it that just jumped out at me. And so that's what I typed up in my one sentence thing of my scripture for that morning. Maybe for you, as you're reading through this passage, is, well, maybe God is grabbing hold of me because as I'm reading Matthew 13, I see the words hear and understand all throughout the passage. Or maybe God grabs you with, like, well, there's one type of soil that just really sounds like me, and God is grabbing my attention with that. So the scripture part is, you just write out one line, type out one line of what is that one piece of scripture that really jumped out at you from your reading this morning. O is for observation, that you write down what you see in scripture. For me, when I was reading through Matthew 13, it was that the follower of Christ who really seeks Jesus gains understanding into His Word. And so for you, there's something as you look at that one piece of Scripture that jumped out at you. What is the truth? What is the piece of truth that God is trying to plant in your heart? And that's what you're trying to pull out of through your observation. Thirdly, you want to write down an application. And here's the most important part, actually. Because it's good if you can hear that God is trying to grab your attention with some scripture. It's good if you see the truth that God is trying to pull out for you, but you're just hearing, you're not understanding if you're not putting an application to it. And so here's how you do an application. You're answering the question, how will I be different today because of what I've just read? How will I be different today because of what I've just read? And so I always start off when I write my application, today, dot, 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 and then I write something out. For example, for this passage I wrote out, today I need to really seek Jesus before I simply breeze through his word. And then lastly, after you write the scripture, the observation, the application, you write out a prayer. Write out a short prayer about it. For example, I wrote out for myself, Lord, help me cultivate the soil of my heart so that as I seek you, I can hear and understand you this week. And there's something powerful and transformative when you personalize, when you digest God's word, that you're starting to really understand what God is trying to speak to you personally. Because God wants to speak to every single one of us in a very personal, individual way. It only takes about 20 minutes a day, but you wouldn't believe how loud Christ's music will sing into your life if you'll just practice this short thing. And so I want to challenge you. Don't just hear it today, but understand it and live it. Take a few minutes. Like I said, it only takes about 20 minutes a day. You can do it right before you go to bed. But as you're reading, that you're very intentional about not just hearing it, but understanding it by writing out one piece of scripture that jumps out at you, one observation from that scripture, one application. Today I'm going to be different because of this. And a short prayer, and you will not believe what God will do through you. And in verse 23, the cool thing is that as your heart towards God's word is open and fertile, it actually determines the kind of fruit you'll experience in your life. Jesus says that you'll experience fruit 100 times fold, or 60 times fold, or 30 times fold, this fruit of experiencing God in your own life, that transformative hearing, the music that we've been talking about the relationships in your life will be transformed by God's word. That's that sharing that we're talking about. And that's even the fruit of how you impact other people's lives. How you play the music will change. If you want to hear the music and experience the transformative beauty of God in your life, you're going to have to cultivate good soil and soften your heart. Let me wrap it up with one thought. I think I've shared parts of this story before, but there was a man, he was the Prince of Grenada. If you don't know where Grenada is, it doesn't matter. But basically, he was the next in line to be the Crown Prince of Spain. So he was the heir to the Spanish crown. And due to some crimes that he committed, he was basically sentenced to life in solitary confinement in Madrid's ancient prison. This dreadful and dirty place was so awful that the place earned the nickname Place of the Skull. It's a familiar name. And everyone that knew about that prison knew that once you go in, you never come out alive. And so this prince, he was given one book. This is a true story. He was given one book to read for his entire lifetime. The Bible, of course. And for some of you, like, thinking like, oh man, that's real torture. This man, he read this book hundreds and hundreds of times. This book became his constant companion. And after 33 years of imprisonment, he died in prison. Now, when the guards came to clean out his cell, this is what they found. They found notes that were written using his fingernails. He'd using them to dig into the soft stone of the jail cell walls, of the prison walls. And he made hundreds of notations that look like this. Psalm 118, verse 8 is the middle verse of the Bible. Ezra chapter 7, verse 21 contains all letters of the alphabet except J. The ninth verse of the eighth chapter of Esther is the longest verse in the Bible. No word or name more than six syllables can be found in the Bible. I was reading this story, and it actually appeared in Psychology Today. And what Psychology Today noted was the oddity of a man who spent 33 years of life, and this is a non-Christian magazine, by the way, spent 33 years of life studying what some describe as the greatest book of all time, yet he could only glean trivia from it. And from all we know, he never made any religious or spiritual commitment towards Christ. He simply became an expert at Bible trivia. Sadly, many of us sitting here this morning feel the same way as we read the Word of God. We do not hear God singing to us in a personal and powerful way. there's a difference between knowing facts and trivia about the word and genuinely hearing and understanding the music. And now, before you tune out, I know that when I talk about things like journaling, you know, I got to tell you, I don't like to do stuff like that either. But God has given you a tool this morning, a very simple tool, and it doesn't take much work, 15, 20 minutes. And I challenge you, I dare you to see if it won't change the way that you hear and understand God's music in your life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." One of my deep desires and one of the things I believe that God is calling us as a people, part of the vision for us this year, is that we would learn not to rely on Thursday night or Friday night Bible study or sermons to pre-chew up the word for us, but that we would learn to be self-feeders, that where we go directly to the source, God's word, and allow him to feed us, allow us to hear him and to understand what he is saying. And as we genuinely hear and understand God's music, there's something powerful that happens in our lives. We talked about this last week, that the word not only teaches us how to faithfully love and experience Christ in our real life, but also empowers us to reproduce a high fidelity playback of Christ and his ways in our lives. And so as we hear and understand God's song, it will be life transforming. And I don't want you to just hear about it. I want you to experience it for yourself. Let's hear it. Let's understand it. Let's live it together. Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you for challenging us with your word this morning. We recognize it's easy to hear this very familiar parable about different types of soil, and for our hearts to hear and not understand, to hear and not be changed. God, this morning, I ask, number one, that you would be God, that you would be lifted high, that you would reign in this place. And secondly, Lord, I ask that you would not let anyone walk out of here feeling guilt-ridden or obligated or guilt-driven. There's no point in trying to be a good person because none of us can be good enough to reach your holiness, to reach your goodness. But God, I do ask that you would help us to hear your high calling. That's not enough to simply just hear clever words, that we don't want to be just part of that crowd who sat there during your sermon, just waiting for the next cool story, just waiting for the next funny thing that you're going to say, the next interesting or exciting principle that you're going to teach, before it to not take root in our hearts and change us. If you are real, if your word is true, God, show us. And so we humbly ask, God, would you equip us this morning to, out of love for you, or out of a deep curiosity to experience something more, out of a need to find that, is the God of the Bible real? Would you help us to not only hear the word, but to process it this week? Would you give us the courage and the motivation? And even if we miss a day or two, it doesn't matter. You don't care about that we follow it exactly every single day. But what you do care about is us hearing you, hearing your truth, and letting it penetrate our lives, letting it change us. And so, God, would you challenge your people this morning? Would you give us the courage to make a commitment to actively interact with your word, to find that it's life transforming? God, help us not to be passive listeners, that the words just pass before our eyes or through our ears and it doesn't mean a thing to us. We don't understand it. We don't understand how you are speaking to each of us personally. God, change the culture of this church that we might hear and understand. Help us to seek you. Help us to be fertile soil this morning. In Jesus' name.